بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، قال تعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My dear brothers, alhamdulillah, بإذن الله تعالى. I want to remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu created this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created some laws, some qawaneen. Allah created some laws to run this world. There are two kinds of laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. One set of laws are what we call the laws of physics, for example. Gravity is one of them. Aerodynamics is one of them, thermodynamics is one of them, and so on and so forth. Surface tension of water is one of them. Laws of physics. Now, it is important to know these laws, but it's not important to know all the laws all the time. But it is important to know the law which applies to you at that time and to fulfill what the law requires. To give you an example, take the law of gravity. What is the law of gravity? The law of gravity is that any body in free fall in the atmosphere of the earth will be drawn towards the earth at an acceleration of 32 feet per second per second. This is the law of gravity. Now you might say, well, you know, that's okay, fine. I mean, so what if I don't know that? How does it change my life? It doesn't change your life. But supposing now you decide to go skydiving, right? So now you are at 5,000 feet in the air, or maybe 10,000 feet in the air, and you are going to jump out of the plane and you are in free fall. Now at that time you say, you know, this gravity and all that, I don't believe it. This is all rubbish, nonsense. Right? Where do you, have you seen gravity? Huh? Can you touch gravity? Who is gravity? This is a nonsense. You are telling me gravity. What gravity? I don't see any gravity. So I don't believe in gravity. Very good. So now with you is another friend who believes in gravity. So both of you jump. So now when you jump out of the plane, you are coming down from 10,000 feet. At 9,000 feet, you are accelerating 32 feet per second per second. And you are having fun and you are going down and you fast. At 5,000 feet, your friend who believes in gravity says, pull the ripcord off the parachute. You say, why? Why should I pull the ripcord? He said, otherwise you will die. That's why, right? Because gravity will kill you. He said, I told you I don't believe in gravity. I don't believe in gravity. So forget the ripcord. But your friend believes in gravity, so he pulls the ripcord. Now when his parachute has deployed, who is going faster, you or him? You. Because the moment the parachute deployed, it arrests his speed, right? It slows him down. The other one is, you are going fast. So now you are going fast, he is going slow, and you are telling him, see, you are a fool. You are a fool. And look at my speed, and I'm fantastic. Look at my speed. Gravity, what gravity? There's no gravity. What will happen? We know what will happen, right? We know what will happen. Not believing in gravity does not save you from the effect of gravity, because gravity is real. Not believing in something does not change the law. The law is the law. You want to believe, believe. You don't want to believe, don't believe. قُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. So when must you understand gravity? When you are in the purview of gravity. That's when understanding gravity, believing in gravity and doing something about gravity becomes very important. I'll give you another example. Take aerodynamics, right? I'm sure every one of us here has flown in planes. What creates lift? How does a plane fly? Not because of engine power. A plane does not fly because of engine power. Because a microlight has fractional horsepower. It's not even one horsepower. Less than 1 HP and it flies. A plane flies because of a phenomenon called lift. And that lift is created where air flows over the wing of the plane, and the wing of the plane is constructed in a way which is called a D-section. It's like this way, curve on top. Air flows over the top of the wing of the plane, which drives it down, drives down the air, and that produces lift, which lifts the plane up in the air. Just to those of you who are interested in the data, for the big commercial airliners that we usually fly, you know, 777, 737, A320, whatever, right? The lift speed is between 240 to 280 kilometers an hour. So when the plane is on the runway, it has to reach that lift speed, which is 240 to 280. Then enough lift is created and it will lift the plane into the air. If you're flying a smaller aircraft, say a Cessna 150, the speed at which lift is created falls down. It's about 100 kilometers will get you lift. If you are in a microlight, maybe 20 kilometers or something, 30 kilometers will get you lift. Because it's related also to the weight of the plane. Same analogy. Supposing you say, well, you know, I don't believe in all this. Will you fly? No. You can not believe if you like, no problem. But your aircraft will not take off because there is a law which Allah has created. That law is called the law of aerodynamics. It's called the law of lift. I know we don't usually teach these laws as the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that is how we should teach them. These are the laws created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So also many other laws. I mean, I don't want to take your time talking about all that. My point here is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created laws to run this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then created a higher level of laws. This is the mechanics of the world. How plants grow, how rain falls, laws of precipitation, right? How plants grow, because of which we have food, laws of light, all of this. But there is a higher level of laws. And those laws have to do with the conditions we find ourselves in. What are the laws for peace and harmony? You can have all the aerodynamics in the world, you still won't have peace. Because with the laws of aerodynamics, you are building and flying warplanes. That's not because you don't know aerodynamics. It's because of something else. Right? The warplane flies on exactly the same principles as a ambulance plane. No difference. What differentiates the two? Something else. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created laws which are the laws of the halat, the ahwal, the laws of the conditions people find ourselves in. So for example, you might say, I want a good marriage where my wife and my husband and the spouse respects me, loves me, takes care of me. I want a good marriage where I have good children who become, you know, qurratul ayn for me. They become the coolness of my eyes. They become sadaqatul jariyah for me. Right? We have these desires. There is a law which governs that. Just like aerodynamics. Just like gravity. You can have it. There's no problem. Absolutely no problem. You can have this. Similarly, you might say, well, you know, we want countries which are safe, where there is peace and there is harmony and there is no conflict between people and nobody is killing each other and so on and so on. Is it possible? Of course it's possible. Absolutely, 100% it is possible. It's like asking, is it possible to fly a plane? What will you say? It's a stupid question. Of course it is possible. Of course it's possible. And you say, well, how? By following the law of aerodynamics. Is it possible to fly the plane without the law of aerodynamics by ignoring the law? I don't believe in this law. Is it possible to fly? Well, then it's not possible. Then it is not possible. Is it possible to do skydiving safely? Yes or no? Of course. But is it possible to do skydiving safely without using a parachute, meaning not ignoring gravity? No. Allah created these laws. Now what are these laws? The first and foremost law has to do with the purpose of our creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah said, we have not created the jinn and the insan for anything other than our worship. The worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya'budun is ya'rifun, it is to understand and to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is to run our lives according to the system that is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalal. So the first law which Allah created was the law of tawheed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the laws of the ahwal, these are based on a criterion. What's the criterion? It's the criterion of success. Why do you want to have this condition? You may have children going to school. You say, no, I want my son or daughter to be a physician. Or you might say, I want my son or daughter to be a rocket scientist or, you know, a great researcher in mathematics or something, right? Why? Because you have a criterion of success. You're saying this is what will make them successful. Nothing wrong with any of that. We should have these aspirations. But what is the standard of success which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us? Because unless we understand the standard of success, you can't understand the laws. Right? If you want to fly, you must know what is flight. I want to take off in the air. Then the law says, you take off in the air, this is what I need to do. So what's the standard of success? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ زُحْزِعَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَاسْ. Allah said, the standard of success, final success, after which there is no examination, after which there is no test. The standard of final success is, Allah said, the one who has been freed from the hellfire and entered into Jannah, only that person is successful. And then Allah warned us, وَمَا الْحَيَاتُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَعُ الْغُرُورِ. Allah said, don't get deceived by this world. The life of this world is deception. Meaning that here is the standard of success which Allah is giving us. And Allah is also telling us that this world will keep on trying to distract you from the standard of success, will keep on trying to take you away from the standard of success, but don't get deceived. I'm warning you in advance, I'm telling you in advance, don't get misguided. This world is a place of deception. Stick to the standard which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Keeping that standard of success, now we look at the laws. The first law is, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. The first law is, the one who is successful is the one who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, did not commit any shirk, did not join any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because only Allah is worthy of worship. First fundamental principle of success is that a person must worship, believe in and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, because only Allah is worthy of worship. Right? Second law of success, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so full of mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give us a whole set of rules to memorize or something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us just one thing. And that one thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said was, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. One simple thing. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. For whom? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there is no need to memorize and this and that. Just understand this one thing. Which is the best example for you to follow is the example of my Nabi, my Rasul, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Follow him and you will be successful. This example is the best example for whom? For the one, yarjullaha wal yawmal akhirah. For the one who desires to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who looks forward to meeting Allah and looks forward to the day of judgment and remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a great deal. Now, whenever I read this, I always think to myself, if you read the, all of us know this, if we, especially the Juz Amma, and the surahs in that, and of course also the rest of the Quran. If I ask you about the day of judgment, what is the kind of picture that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has portrayed and painted for us? Is it a picture of a beautiful time which is absolutely fantastic? It is like, you know, you are in Fort Lauderdale on the beach. Or is it something which is horrible and which is terrible and which is very frightening? And which one? Frightening, right? Frightening as well. But Allah is saying, Yarjullaha wal yawmal akhirah. If the situation is going to be so frightening and so terrible, then how come somebody looks forward to that? Hey, does it make sense? But Allah is saying this. Laqad kana lakum fi rasulillahi uswatun hasana liman kana yarjullaha wal yawmal akhirah. So what does it tell us? It tells us that in this statement itself is the solution. The day of judgment and the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be a time to look forward to for the one who follows the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Because that person will be protected from the horrors and protected from the problems and trials and tribulations and tests of the day of judgment. This, all of this stuff will happen, but it will not apply to you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade you under his shade on the day when there is no shade except his shade. I ask this for all of you, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the shade of his arsh on a day when there is no shade except his shade. So when if we are now collected together under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the rest of the stuff can happen, no problem. It doesn't apply to me because I am in the shade. I am in the shade. Now, and as I said, the beauty of this one rule, follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beauty of this one rule is, it applies to everything in life. So now we come and you say, well, Shaykh, you know, I want to get married and I want a beautiful marriage and so on and so on. What should I do? Follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to raise my children in a beautiful way where they are highly successful in this world and they are connected with Allah. What must I do? Follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want to start a business, a great IT company, this and that thing, so on. What must I do? Follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything. Everything. I am the ruler of this country. How must I run my country? Follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am in power, what must I do? Follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am not in power, I am oppressed, I am one small little minority, I have got no authority, nothing. What must I do? Follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why I keep on saying over and over again, study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very, very, very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to study the seerah. Allah said his life is the best example. Meaning what? Meaning study. If you don't know his life, then what's the good of saying life is the best example, but I don't know anything about the life? I mean, it makes no sense, right? So study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't have the time now to do all that, but I'm just saying, I just want to put some markers in my own mind and your mind. Let us study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If I've had, may Allah protect you from all tragedies and may Allah protect you from all calamities. But if I am in the middle of that, what must I do? My heart is somewhere completely, you know, full of anger or full of hatred, or my heart is full of sadness. What must I do? Follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look in his life and say, what did he do when he was in that kind of a situation? I have wealth. What must I do? Follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have no wealth. What must I do? Follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is seriously, I mean, I am not saying this as a Muslim. I am saying this in my role as a, I have written two books of mine on seerah also. Now, I am saying this as a researcher, as a serious researcher of Islam and a researcher of the life of Rasulullah. There is no other person on the face of the earth whose life has been as accurately and closely documented as the life of Rasulullah. Nobody else. Absolutely nobody else. And this itself is one of the karamat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related to His Nabi alayhi salam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, study His life, and Allah made sure that that life is recorded in every single detail. So I can't go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, you know, I tried my best, but I couldn't find the detail. No. There is no couldn't find. It's all there. I didn't read the different issue, but I cannot say I could not find, because every single thing is written down. In such minute detail, it's amazing. Subhanallah, I sometimes think to myself, how the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhi ajmain, how they must have loved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they wrote down things which are so small, but they considered them important enough to write. I don't want to take more of your time. This is enough, inshallah. Just to remind ourselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I said, the laws of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created His physical laws. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also created the laws of success, the laws of the ahwal, the laws of human conditions. And just like it is necessary to follow the physical law that applies to you, it is necessary to follow the law of the hal, the law of the conditions also, which applies to us. And the same logic applies. You follow the physical law, you succeed there. You do this, you succeed in dunya wal akhirah, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him, and to save us from that which does not please Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us those who follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill your hearts with His nur and with the hubb of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to make your lives a living example of the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in today's world, inshaAllah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman ar-rahim.